Who am I? Thank you. That's not the right answer, but I appreciate it. Who am I? I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cruel and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I'm quoted, the more I'm believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I'm nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and ruin marriages. I destroy careers and cause heartache and sleepless nights. I wreck churches and separate Christian brethren. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name hisses. I am gossip. I am gossip. Gossip isn't technically my topic. But when I think about the idea of trying to help somebody out and thinking about whether I'm helping or whether I'm meddling, in my mind, I kept going back to gossip. So we're going to speak a little bit to that, at the same time talking about whether we are meddling or whether we are helping. I'm going to start in Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to turn there and read a few verses. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to start with verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We are supposed to be in the business, when we get together with fellow Christians, we're supposed to be in the business of encouraging each other to do good, helping each other do the right thing. Now, I know that this passage, and I think it's correct, being used in the sense of when we gather together at a church, don't forget to be together. But I think it's true at other times too. We can very easily come together on Sunday morning. Some of us come together on Wednesday night, and we don't even think about each other too much in between. Don't forget to be with each other. Now, we live in an age now that it's really hard to have an excuse to not be in contact with somebody else. I know we as parents get on our kids for all the texting they do, right? But at the same time, that texting can be what encourages somebody else to do right, because somebody's thinking about them. We need to be in the habit of encouraging each other to do good. We need to be positive toward one another. That was a great lesson. We need to be positive toward one another. Instead of tearing each other down, let's build each other up. Instead of talking about our shortcomings with each other, talk about what we're good at with each other. Everybody doesn't have the same gift. So if somebody does have a gift, let them know that's a gift. Let them know that that's something they do well. Forgiving each other. That's part of helping one another too, isn't it? Forgiving one another. And think about this. When I look at that verse that says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, not forgetting to spend time with each other, our fellow Christians should be more important to us than any other people we know and any other friends we have. They should be who we want to spend time around. They should be who we want to spend time around. Now, when we think about this idea of encouraging each other to do good, trying to help each other out, one of the main ways that I think is the direction, is the concept of where it starts with this helping or meddling, is in James chapter 5. So I'm going to turn there. James chapter 5. And I'm going to start reading in verse 19. Okay. I'll get to James instead of 1 John, and then the passage will make sense. James chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. When we start getting into the idea of are we helping or are we meddling, this is usually where it starts. We see a brother or sister that is doing something that we think is jeopardizing their soul, and we want to help. We want to do something about that. We want to pull them out of the fire. That's not a bad thing. We're told to do that. We're encouraged to do that. That is part of our responsibility as a fellow brother or sister. Now, this is not fun. See, telling people what they're good at and encouraging them to do good, and that's fun. I enjoy doing that. But this is not fun. Nor is it easy. Maybe one of the first signs that we're meddling instead of helping is that we enjoy it way too much. We enjoy it too much. We're anxious to find somebody doing something wrong so we can tell them how they need to do it right. Sometimes this may require directness. When I look at Jesus and how he interacted with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the Jewish leaders, it's interesting to me how when he started out interacting with them, a lot of times they would question him, and he would throw a question back at them, trying to get them to think. He was trying to get them to come out of their hypocrisy on their own. Figure this out. Let me help you draw you closer to God. But then toward the end, he does what I call, he pulled out the spiritual 2x4 and started smacking them up the head with it. Because they weren't getting it. And it was necessary, and that was going to be his last chances to directly influence them one-on-one. And he tried everything he could think of. Sometimes I think we head for the 2x4 too quickly. Yes, sometimes we have to be very direct with someone that is in sin. Sometimes they don't realize what's going on. Sometimes they don't listen if we hint, or if we beat around the bush a little bit, or if we try to come in a side door to the issue. But we need to try those things first. We need to try to bring them along slowly first. Because this has to be done out of love. It goes back to that 1 Corinthians 13. We have to do things out of love. If we don't do things out of love, no good can come from it. In Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work. That's interesting. Let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Restoring a brother, bringing someone back from sin, trying to help bring them back into the faith again, it's all about the relationship. It's all about building a relationship of trust, a relationship of confidence, a connection with that individual that you can relate to that person enough to help them out. Now, when we are trying to help somebody out, perhaps one of the most important things we need to know in order to help them out is the fact that they need help. That's the first thing we have to know. In order to know that, I have to know the person. That's what that relationship is all about. If that relationship to help that person out starts out when I find out they have a problem, I've waited too long. That relationship has to be there before the problem occurs so that now they can trust me. They can have confidence in me and we can work together toward a solution. The line, perhaps, between helping and meddling is pretty blurred sometimes. That's hard to define. One way I think we can define it is understanding that the details of their specific situation may not be important to the solution for me helping them. Maybe you found yourself in this situation. I know I have. Somebody comes forward at the end of the service. I need prayers for a situation. I need help. I'm under a temptation, and can the congregation help me to get out of this temptation by praying for me? What's the first thing we want to know? What's the problem? What are the details? Exactly what is it you're struggling with? At that point in time, do I need to know that? I don't need to know that. I can pray for that person without knowing exactly what the situation is because God already knows. And just that person knowing that somebody in the congregation cares enough to pray for them, that might be enough to help in that situation. They may not be ready to share the specifics. You know, there comes, in the process of overcoming something in our lives, there seems to be a process that we go through. One of the first steps in the process is realizing that we've got something we need help with. The second is asking for help with the situation. It's way on down the line before we feel comfortable sharing the specifics of what's going on. Now, when they're ready to talk specifics, if they're wanting to talk to you about the specifics, you better be ready to listen. Because now, you're not meddling, you're helping. Because they've chosen the time and the place and the relationship that they're comfortable looking for more detailed help and information. If I press them for details, now I'm meddling. Now I'm trying to find something out that maybe I have no business knowing. Why is it? Here's a question to ask yourself if you're looking for details, if you just think you got to know the juicy details. Why do I need to know the details? Why do I think that I need to know? This is a good time for honest reflection. An honest reflection about who I am and an honest reflection of the relationship I have with that individual. If that individual really does want help and wants to share those specific details, if enough people tell them, I love you and I'm praying for you, if there's anything I can do to help, please let me know. that person is going to find somebody that they're going to feel comfortable exposing and bearing the details to that will be able to help that individual. If I'm just looking for the details, why is it that I think I need to know the details? Do I need to know the details because I know somebody else that would like to know the details, and if I can find it out, then I can share it with them. And then they can help too. Now we've got a problem. Proverbs chapter 16. I'm going to turn to a couple of passages in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, starting with verse 27. An ungodly man digs up evil. Now that sounds like the person that doesn't know the details but is dying to find out. They're going to dig up evil. They're going to dig it up. And is on his lips like a burning fire. Chances are, if that person finds out the details, it's not going to stay with them very long. Verse 28. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. If how I go about trying to help that person separates them from somebody else because of things I've told or said, now I'm not helping anymore. Now I'm meddling. Now I'm destroying relationships that may be needed in the future to help that person out. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, and I'll start with verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down in the innermost body. See, somebody who enjoys sharing the juicy tidbits, they enjoy that. That's fun. They can't wait. Maybe their first words in a conversation are, guess what? Because they can't wait to tell you something that they think you might not know. We have to be careful that we're not that way. That our goal is not to share details that don't need to be shared. So when I think about this problem, though, sometimes, and I brought this up in my lesson yesterday, sometimes I may know the problem, I may know the issue, I may know all the details, and I realize I am not equipped to handle this. I can't do this. I need help. I need help helping them because I don't know how to do it. Now we've got an issue. We've got to figure out, because now are we gossiping when we tell somebody, or are we helping? Well, here's a couple of questions that I'll try to think of when I decide if I'm going to share something about somebody else with somebody else. Who am I telling this information to? I need to think about who it is that I'm sharing the information with. And the second question is, why am I telling them? Is this a person I really think can help? Or is this something I just wanted to tell somebody and get it off my chest? In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus warns us about the words we speak. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35. A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word, wow, gossiping, saying things about somebody that, even if they're true, don't need to be said. It's not words that need to be spoken. I say to you, every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Who I tell and why I tell is important not only for the person who I may be trying to help, but also for my own soul's sake. I have to make sure that who I'm telling is going to be somebody that can help the situation. In Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." We do have the liberty to try to help each other out. We have a little... I couldn't find anywhere in Scriptures where I could quote chapter and verse and it defined for me the difference between meddling and helping. There's a certain amount of freedom. There's a certain amount of liberty that we have to interpret what it means to try to help our brethren, to bear their burdens, to bring them out of the fire. But I can't use that liberty. I can't use that objectivity of my own as an occasion for evil, as an occasion just to spread gossip or spread rumor or damage a reputation. Instead, it says that I'm supposed to, through love, serve one another. Verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you will love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by each other." Gossip has the ability, I mentioned it in my description a little while ago, gossip has the ability to divide. And division is never helpful. Division never helps a congregation. Well, you know, I had that plan to say that, and then I think of a time where division might be helpful. You got a group of Christians as a whole that are doing a bunch of stuff that's not right. Maybe it is time to pull away. But when we divide fellow Christians amongst each other because we want to sow that strife, we've got those hot coals in our mouth, we've got those issues on our tongue that we want to speak and say, now we're devouring one another and we'll be consumed by that. There are some reasons why people gossip. One of those reasons is to feel superior. Sometimes we know something that nobody else knows or not very many other people know, and we want to say it because we want to show how superior we are. And if we don't feel good about ourselves, sometimes we temporarily feel better when we judge others negatively to others. Sometimes we gossip out of boredom. We don't have anything else to say, so let's talk about somebody else. When people can't generate interesting discussions based on knowledge or ideas, gossip can come up fairly quickly. Sometimes we gossip out of envy. We're jealous of somebody else, or we're envious of their status or their success or whatever the jealousy is. And so we gossip in order to hurt that person who their perceived popularity or talents or lifestyle or whatever it might be causes us to be jealous. Sometimes we might gossip just to feel part of the group. Everybody else is saying something about this person, so I'm going to join in. Sometimes we just gossip to belong to the group. For attention. Sometimes we gossip because we want people to pay attention to us. Nobody's paying attention to me, so if I can gossip, if I can let them in on a little secret that I know that they don't know, now the attention is on me. Well, how'd you find that information out? Where'd you get that? What's that? Give me the details. What's going on? And sometimes we can gossip out of anger or unhappiness. We want a sense of retribution. Or we're going to get back at them for something they did to us by saying something that I want to say about them. These are times when we need to stop and think and check our motives. The difference between helping and meddling a lot of times is simply, what is the end result going to be? And stopping and thinking about what we say includes what we're speaking with our lips, and it also includes what we're typing on the computer or on our little smartphone. We need to stop and think, is this going to help this person or is this going to harm this person? And everything we should do should be with a goal, an end goal of helping the other person. 1 Peter chapter 3. I think there's a passage here that helps us think about how to check our motives. To just be able to step back and stop and say, am I helping or am I meddling? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Is what I'm about to say, is what I'm about to do, going to show compassion to this person? Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Is this going to be kind? Is this going to be loving? Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Is what I'm about to do or say, is that going to be a blessing for this person? Or is it going to be harmful? First Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and starting with verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Are we helping the elders or are we making their job more difficult? We cause them problems or are we helping? Be at peace among yourselves. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See, when we go to helping, here's some categories of how we're to help. Warn those who are unruly. If we see somebody doing something that jeopardizes their soul, we do need to take action. But remember, we're supposed to take action out of love, out of concern, out of a goal of strengthening and helping them, not out of a goal of making them feel bad or belittling them. We're supposed to comfort the faint-hearted, those that are down, those that are struggling, those that are weak. We're supposed to uphold them. We're supposed to strengthen them. Be patient with all. Verse 15, I think, speaks straight to meddling. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. And we just have to make our one goal. To me, the line between helping and meddling is one goal. Is this going to benefit that person? If I'm benefiting that person, then I have a really good opportunity to help them. If I'm just wanting to stick my nose in, now I'm meddling. You know, sometimes there's situations that come up in congregations. I saw this not too long ago, where an individual in the congregation knew of a situation in the congregation where a member was struggling with something. And they felt like the eldership wasn't doing anything. Now, what they should have done was gone to that member and talked to them about it, or at the very least, gone to the eldership and said, I think there might be a situation here. Can we do something? But instead, what did they do? They started talking about it and whispering about it with the other brethren. The whispers grew louder. The situation like that went on for months. And the whole time, the eldership had been working with that individual, trying to help them. You know what the end result was? That person left. The eldership was trying to help. And someone, instead of helping, took it upon themselves to meddle. And it drove that person away. We need to make sure that when we think we're helping, that we really are finding a way to help and not just meddling. And it's in the attitude. It's in the purpose. It's in the goal. But it's also in how we go about that goal. We see a problem with a fellow brother or sister. Who are we supposed to go to first? That brother or sister. If they'd have gone to that brother or sister, instantly they would have known that something was being done. If they'd have even gone to the eldership, instantly they might have been able to know we're helping them. It's being taken care of. Well, there is one huge way that we as brothers and sisters in Christ need to help out those around us, because there is one goal to helping anyone, and that goal is the salvation of their soul. That's the one goal we have in mind. It doesn't matter whether it's a brother or a sister that's struggling with something, or whether it's an unbeliever that has yet to accept Christ. The goal is the salvation of that person's soul. When we speak from up here and we say, if you have sin in your life, you need to get rid of it, we're not trying to stick our nose in your business. We're trying to help you. We want to see you have a mansion in heaven. We don't need to know all the gory details. We don't need to know every single way that you have messed up in your life. Because if we were to go around, we would spend a lot of time if we all detailed every little mistake we've ever made. The help comes from the blood of Christ and salvation through His name. He already knows the details. And He can help. That's where the true help comes from. If you need to be unburdened by your sin, if you need to confess anything before the group now that might help you become unburdened with your sin, if there is any way that we can help, we don't want to meddle in your business. We want to know if we can help. And we want to find a way to strengthen you and make you stronger. If there's anything we can do, we invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.